Rossini style, you know?
Which uses what kind of chords?
He loves ninths and whole tone scale resources.
Not ninths, like dominant?
Dominant ninths. Just dominant ninths. He loves dominant ninths, man. He's like Mr. Dominant Nine.
Yeah.
He'll give you a... You know, he just loves... He likes to do all kinds of pentatonic-y ninth chord things, and he likes to shimmer out with ninth chord rows. And he likes shifting roots. Like before, I was when I was coming up the board, I was shifting. What was I doing? Was I B? Yeah. So I was going B, A flat, F, just a cycle, but going up while the cycle goes down. So if you say improvise in the style of these composers, it's good to see if they really have one style or if they have a few. Most of the guys have a few distinctly different styles.
Right. Well, I'm in the Debussy department. I'm in Lemaire, Nocturnes, Prelude, that sort of...
Girl with the Flaxen Hair, you tried that one out too?
No, don't know that one.
Yeah, that's
all piano pieces I'm familiar with.
Yeah, he has, I'd say, maybe about three or four
string
distinct styles. Yeah, the string quartet. That one's like in the Afternoon of a Faun style, I think, that he really is.
So
that's like his dreamy and his ninth chord thing.
That's the thing I'm used to mainly, is a dreamy, the countryside sort of thing.
Yeah, he really catches that.
Picturistic kind of thing.
So, okay, well, we don't have to really follow it up today. We'll see when you've got more input on it. I mean, I was just going to bring up Beethoven, but if Debussy is the one that's on your mind...
So you were just going to make a quick comparison, though.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. The thing is, when I think of Beethoven, a lot of us think of him. Maybe we think of a guy who's, you know, pretty strong, a lot of power there, a lot of drama.
A lot of fifth movements, more traditional.
A lot of very strong bass lines when he does his moves, you know?
Yeah.
When you hear
inversions.
It's like Mozart with a little more power in the bottom end, or late Mozart. So, you know, you'll hear Beethoven, boom, boom, boom. But then he'll hit a chord, and out of left field, he'll take one of these chords and go somewhere. You know, the ambiguous chords. These things just go so many places.
Like the dominant.
He'll go to the regular minor, that's the major key minor, like the tonic minor. He'll go places like...
Is it the stuff that got him in trouble at first?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll just go way out there. If you're on this chord, and you're Beethoven, you're in this key, then this should resolve. But he might decide that, like, what is one of his favorite tunes that would be really unusual. You know, it's like suddenly, what key is that? It's the key of E if he completes the idea, you know, which is really far away from E5. So he's, you know, he's stretching the boundaries quite a bit, but mainly he does use these large sounding chords for his power and his range. So it works well on guitar. You can get all kinds of, you know, get nice bass lines by studying this kind of thing. So you might try harmonizing the scale. I'm in minor key now. Just use 1/4 and 5 together. You can use 5 minor and 5 major, and 4 minor and 4 major.
Well, harmonize it like...
This is 1/4.
Are you harmonizing? What's your choice of roots? Are you just going to go up and...
1/4 and 5.
And whatever root comes...
Whatever bass line, on any bass note in the key, whatever
the closest
you
one.
Choose. Yeah, with good voice leading and contrary motion.
Well, if you're going to go up the scale...
Well, let's say, okay, let's make an easy key for guitar, F minor. Okay, so here's...
So the next one's G.
So that's C7, that's the 5.
C,
this is
right.
1 again.
A flat.
This is the 4.
B flat to 4. Yeah.
Okay, here's 1.
C.
4.
Yeah. Can you use a natural 6 too?
Yep. This is like a 1 right there with the 6 in the bass. So here's your 5 again.
Could you also use the flat 7 too?
The flat seven, this note right here coming up, yeah, chromatically.
Hold on, I'm not saying coming up, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you'll hear this kind of.
Which is, now that would be five, just the E was five, right?
Yeah, the E is five, right.
What was seven? What was E flat? That would be.
This was the five minor. Because coming down, when you hear.
E one. Right, that.
It's like. Which is really a cycle of fifth root progressions. Brahms.
A, what did you do there? A over E.
Like F should go to B flat there, you know, or minor, whatever. Beethoven set out a lot of harmonic ideas.
Do you have a comment on this? It's kind of cool. I was just transcribing a song for someone, and it was one of those ones with one diminished seventh.
Uh-huh.
You know, like When You Wish Upon a Star. But what they did, let's say it was in C, they did, instead of going to C diminished, they went to F sharp on the bass diminished.
Sure, that's normal.
Same. And it led down to G over F.
Led up to G over F, or down? Down then. G over F, pardon me. Yes, well, that's very common.
And then, maybe D.
Yeah, that's secondary
C
function. Dig.
C
that's
over D.
Secondary function. That's,
that was a good,
that's this progression.
That was a D7.
D7 with a, you know, with a tart note,
D7.
That's all.
Oh,
D7
I see.
With a spice guy in there, that's
a
all.
Spice guy, yeah. So it was, is, so it's secondary dominant to 2-5.
It's 2-5-4, that's all it is.
There you go. Alright.
That's Beethoven stuff too. He loves that chord.
Yeah, it was a pop thing, and it sounded really nice. I was going, what? That's weird.
Yeah, so if this is the bass line and you hear. Then that could come up to the E in the bass, right?
Sure, E in the bass, which would be C or E or an E minor or whatever.
If you're radical, Beethoven's a radical guy.
Why do you go down to C minor, C sharp minor?
You might just go crazy. You might say, well, these notes in contrary motion will give me a fifth interval, which will turn this chord into another minor real far away from the
and C. And not C sharp minor you're playing? No.
F sharp minor, which is as far away about as you can get.
How do you get from...
Well, see, C diminished 7 is able to go to C, but it's also able to go to E flat, right? And it's also able to go to F sharp.
Is that something
like
this?
And say we go to A, right? Because there are four root tones that can become the tonic at any moment.
I was just doing this too. I'm just kind of making notes on stuff, right?
You following this idea? Yes.
I think so. Is this something like what's going on here?
Let's see.
Here's just a typical progression on top, right?
Right.
And then I just substituted. I just wanted to see, you know, because it's all the same, right? I mean, that's the...
Let me peek at this from a different perspective. So instead of calling that A7, it can be E7, G7,
just
and C7. That's
right,
correct.
Right. So I'm saying if you're going to
and
go...
You treated those as flat 2s or 5s to get to normal places. That's good.
I figured E flat 7 would be a good way to get to... I'm just trying to justify...
These are good, Mark. These are all sensible functional. I just read through them. They're good.
So and then...
I'm speaking about something else, though, but this is excellent. This is doing the other thing. If you know, there are a lot of angles on diminished. The simplest angle is that it's always either a diminished chord or a 7-flat 9.
Right.
So you've said which dominance is it, really, to get those functions, to get the E-flat 7 to D minor, and the C7 to the F.
Well, it would make sense that the G-flat, although it's G-flat 7, although it's... Flat 9, although it's the same, it would make more sense to go to the F than
F
D minor.
Then to go to D minor, correct.
Because it's just a half-step leading thing.
That's right.
And F major is 2 anyways.
That's
or,
right.
Or
if you voice it in a certain way, we don't know the difference yet. You don't have a strong enough bottom end.
Okay,
I mean,
but what were you saying then?
What I'm saying is when you treat it as an actual diminished chord, though, not a dominant, then any note in the chord can become the root.
Right, of course, yeah.
So here's this chord.
So it's E-flat, C, A, and...
F-sharp, right? And so that's why, you know, the minor was just available, because it's one of the notes in there. He just made it into a tonic.
So he went, since since F sharp diminished is the same as E flat diminished, he said, I'll go to F sharp minor instead.
Could be.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just because it's the root that's in it, but the other notes are, well, it's a couple notes are the same, the F and the A, F sharp and the A.
Treat them now as D7 flat 9. While we're playing it, we switch it, bring it around, call it D7 flat 9. Goes to G.
G over B, yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, yeah, that's a great.
To C7.
Over B flat. Right, that, yeah.
F minor instead of F major.
Over, that's the 4, yeah.
Right.
Over F flat, yeah.
To C.
What was the one after the C over G?
That's A minor with the 6 on the bass. Treating it as 4 minor of the new key, which is an E. Beethoven doesn't use that too much. A little later Beethoven, but Beethoven used
A minor over F sharp to go to E?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just like
going 4 minor to 1. Like, or you're in C and you go.
Or it's like the.
Yeah. That's
without
exactly
the 5.
Right. So if you're in C and you play A minor, it's 6 of home, but it's 4 of 3.
Right. Of, so, which is E.
Right.
Of E major, though. Right?
So, same thing in E, if you move.
E. C sharp minor. E flat.
Yeah, Grieg.
I mean, E flat over A.
For that stuff. Edvard Grieg. Have you listened to Edvard Grieg? You'll love his music. Try the Peer Gynt Suite, because it's not expensive or long if you just get the suite.
Yeah.
Get a $3 cassette of it or something. You'll recognize certain pieces.
I want
to recognize.
I gotta buy everything on CD now because I went out of my way to get one of those.
That's Edvard Grieg.
What song is that?
That's called In the Hall of the Mountain King. It's from that suite.
But where do you always
rock and roll people probably use it. It's so rock and rollish.
Isn't that out of horror movies or something, or no?
Probably. And in nature films, they use this one that goes. Yeah, and then later it's
harps.
Yeah, same device we were just talking about, where 6 becomes 4 of the new key. Pivot chord, where you enter in it as a 6, but it becomes a
4. Yeah, I'm used to the normal pivot chords, just in your diatonic pivot.
Diatonic pivots, yeah.
But this is the same idea, but
just non-diatonic, yeah. So we have 2, 5, 1 dominant to 4 minor to 1.
Nice. Could have been a sus there, too.
Yeah, definitely. Now you get to a chord like this, after. That's the C diminished 7 again.
C diminished is lower F sharp.
The chord has a lot of other places. Because it's A. So he's in a very related key to the key you started in now, yet it sounds almost slightly distant because we didn't expect that change and because of the power of. Nice way.
Well, it was, they criticized him and then he became the norm.
It always happens.
Always happens.
This is the bad always with all the great
Debussy's.
Oh, jeez.
And now it's like, you listen to that, it was supposed to be so radical, and you listen to it now, people will go, it's elevator music. You know, it's like, oh, hum.
Yeah, in a way it's true, because you hear this, it's so pretty that no one would think it's shocking dissonance, yet it was unresolved.
Unresolved ninths and all that. Just, yeah.
That chord, Ted. He likes all these kind of almost jazz-like progressions.
Right. Yeah,
I think a lot of those came from his music.
Those things you gave me a sheet a long time ago with those pentatonics, those four-note shapes. Would they fit in the context of this thing too?
I think so. Yeah. Anything pentatonic can be.
Or anything like.
anything with fourths and fifths and sevenths is able to be used, I think, in a Debussy manner. Yeah, I mean, we could end up sounding like Curtis Mayfield. We could end up sounding like Chinese music or Debussy. It's just how we do it.
Depends what your root is like, too, I
guess. That's a lot of its attitude. If you decide that it's Curtis, so you go...
Or Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah, well, Jimmy is Curtis. You have to understand, right. That style is Curtis.
And Floyd Kramer. That's where Jimmy says he got a lot of that stuff, which is those... You ever listen to Floyd Kramer?
Sure. Last Date, 1960, kind of put that on the map, that style, for the average white boy like me. It's interesting that I didn't know he had listened to Floyd Kramer.
That's what he said.
Some interviews?
Some interviews. He stated Floyd Kramer was one of his influences on some of this hammer on country stuff. Because you always, those licks that go over there. Always. Or that.
I bought the record right as soon as I heard it in 1960. I said, man, what's this guy playing there on the piano? But I didn't have good enough ears to catch all of it at the time.
So that's part
of it. But Curtis was doing it right around the same time on guitar.
So I'm sure a combination of both, you know. Like
the guitaristic expression of holding the chords and doing all this, that's directly something you can hear on those old Curtis Mayfield style things where he had his own group called the Impressions back then. They had a lot of hits. And they were pretty big, pretty popular. Kind of, it'd be like Heart now, about that league. Not megastar, but popular enough to be selling serious record figures, you know. But scaled down by the standards of the time. You'd like Girl with the Flaxen Hair. I recommend that one for you, too.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. Get that.
Where it goes.
Wait a second.
I mean, he's got all kinds of little great runs in there.
Is it a harp piece, too?
It's mainly for orchestra. He modulates. Whoa. They're really for you sometimes.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of this in there.
Yeah.
So any other questions about things that you've been doing since I've seen you last? Before we go on to something new?
Really, I'm just, like I said, I'm plugging away. The questions come up, or the ideas come up as I work.
Should I suggest a tune today, or did you have a certain tune that was bugging you that you wanted to some help
you know,
with?
You know, you gave me this before. See this? I like stuff like this. I like some assignments. You know, rather than working on tunes, because I can work on the tunes and bring them to you, and you can critique and sort of where we can go over.
It's like this works better for you, huh? I'm glad you did this. I didn't know if you got to because you didn't mention
it. I did it, and I got some. You know, I try to write out the chords. But stuff like that, or maybe some stuff, I don't know what you have on that, you know, maybe learning.
Good work, you Mark.
I need to learn my diminished and my dominant chords better. It seems the minors are easy to learn all the different things up and down the neck, and the majors, because majors and the minors can be the same thing if you move them, right?
Agreed.
Rules
of music are supposed to follow the music. So I got a lot of worksheets I could give you. I didn't know that you'd like that. That's great.
It's like I said, I can apply that to the tunes. Okay, here's a problem I have, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't have so much problem, like, let's say, take any chord, like, say... I mean, I can see all the places pretty well.
But you say diminished and...
I can see all, you know, like... I can see the notes that go in the chord, so I can even make up little things that, as I go along, you know, and I can just see whatever it is, little things. But when it comes to five, it's like one or two of the main things. So when I go, you know.
Do you see flat nine sharp fives in inversion?
Not like really. Sharp nine sharp fives or any of that stuff, there's a couple. A string root shape and what I call the A string root shape and the E string root shape, like, and a couple of those, and then I know that you could use the diminished, and I know you can use the, for E7, you could use these shapes right here, like, any one of these, right?
Yes.
I sort of, you know, so I guess.
What if I say from mid range on up, seven flat nines with raised fives, like this sound?
Dominant seven, flat nine, raised five. Flat nine, raised fives. No, those ones I don't. I mean, those, there's like a couple, like this. Whenever I hear that, it's like. And that's not even, this one's a, is that a flat, no, that's not even a flat nine raised five, it would have to be this, wouldn't it?
That's right. Yeah, that's a better finger, but for a lot of cases, that separate finger.
Does this go along in the, well, then those would be the shapes that you use for the minor seven flat five.
Yeah, they are exactly the same. But you need to see them. You don't want your head jumping off the track if you don't have to.
No.
You know, if changes are coming fast, you don't always have to substitute a minor seven.
No, no, of course not. You want to know.
You want to see your A7, yeah, from the right roots that help you visually, like this would be, you know,
okay.
There. And this one is like off of there. You see the root. You know what it is? You take dominant chords and you just raise the root and the fifth, the half step. So you
right.
can really see it. There's A7. You see the root and the fifth.
Right. Okay, so.
But now, surprisingly, dominant chords. Hear this good now, Mark.
Okay.
Hear this well, I should say. Are we taping?
Yeah, it's running.
Oh, okay.
Hear this well. This is for the tape.
Dominant chords don't always have to have that flat seven. Now, we would think, of course, they have to, because that's what makes them dominant. But other altered tones, when they're in the chord, are more important than the flat seven. For instance, in this case, a lot of times I'll throw the root in because I want that particular melody. It's the same chord we were just doing. Right. Let's see our evolution now. We had A7. We raised the root and its fifth. So
and
then sometimes you want that melodic thing there, right?
So you put the root on top there.
I use the root to raise the flat seven, to be honest. So I'll go more than I'll go. I mean, they're both great, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with. I'm trying to say, not doing a good job, but I'll try and be more articulate. There's nothing wrong with getting rid of the flat seven if other tones in the chord warrant it. And your ear will be the judge.
Okay, so then I can figure out these ones because I already know the shapes for the minor seven.
Yeah, but don't do it that way, Mark. Do yourself a favor.
Of course, I know that.
Just, it'll only take you a few minutes. Just take your seventh chords and raise the roots in the fifths.
Right.
And then get the delightful surprise of seeing the familiar shape. Because the reason I'm saying is you're going to have to go back and do that anyway if you want to have them in your head.
Okay, I'm going to have to learn them
as a new root visual thing.
That's what I do with all those mode things.
Now, when things do this, when things move up,
yeah.
Like in this A7, and give you this,
right.
This is a rare case where I won't use the root to visualize the chord that actually generated it.
Why?
Because the new root's stronger in my vision. The new root is the one, yeah, here's what I mean by new root. The new root is the one that I was mentioning that can replace the flat seven. So I use that root right there with the little finger.
All right.
let's look at this again. Make
sure
you see.
Got it.
So we have this chord shape that's easy to see.
We start with A7.
Right. We raise 1 and 5. We refinger it to make it comfortable.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Make it real comfortable. Make it even more comfortable.
That's comfortable.
Let's make it even more comfortable.
Can it be more comfortable?
Yes, it can be decided even more so. Now we have the utmost in comfortability with no pinky involved. Now
that's
pinky,
pretty comfortable.
Thanks. Right. So now the pinky is free to get the visual. Right. The reason also is you want to get lines.
Well, just like you do in the... Right.
Sometimes when the movie comes around, 1 to flat 7 is a great line, 8 to flat 7. Second string visual root for this. Also for the straight dominant 9, when you take your A7, watch this. Don't watch the 4th string root, just throw that one out of your vision.
Well, actually, that one's not so bad because I recognize the D shape.
Great,
the D shape,
great,
yeah,
great,
the D shape. That one's all right. Some of the other ones are weird, though.
Anytime you have a chance to use the 2nd string root, give it at least a chance, because many times it's better in the long run. It really is than those lower ones.
That's good.
So then the next step is to do the 7 sharp 9 raise 5s.
Okay.
Which all you do is take whatever you've just got.
Yeah.
For instance, let's take this chord here.
You got it.
Now try and make it a raise 9, raise 5. You're going to run into a problem, and then we'll talk about how to adjust.
I think they're getting rid of the
pain
here. I think with the wind,
they're
probably going to hold on.
Because it'll just blow back at
them. Well, am I going to put the... Oh, gosh. Minor 9th interval. Ah. Because it's got that minor 9 interval, which kind of sounds funky.
You're close to the right thing. Let's go back to the chord. Show me.
I got third, five.
Let me run this thing, Mark, and save us time, okay?
Right.
Play the A7.
This one.
No, it's a great chord, but you got the root in there.
Oh,
we're on the right track.
Okay, get back to this.
You were saying a 7, sharp 9, sharp 5.
Okay, here's the one you said start with.
Yeah. Okay, so find the raised 9 instead of the flat 9.
Okay, so.
Just do what I ask. No, you can't
negate anything.
Let me say it again. Find the raised 9 in place of the flat 9.
Good.
Okay, now let me hear the chord. Both of us know it's not the utmost in desirability. When this happens, there's a simple, easy way to rectify. Reverse the outer voices.
Okay, so put the 3rd on the bottom and the 9th on the... Like that. Was that right?
Whenever you do that, you'll be in cluster voicing instead.
That's right. So with my other chord, I could...
The other chord was great, too. It had the root instead of the flat 7.
I could, if I could... I could go.
Yeah, do that with the double stop. It's quite easy.
Let's see.
Actually, no little finger, so the little finger will be ready to get raised 11. So you can do a slant finger onto the flat 7 and the raised 9.
Oh,
that's how you get it. Take the tip of the first finger, put on G on the
fifth string. I was just trying to see what the chord was.
Same chord that we just had. You just tip the G.
On
no bass string, just the G on the fifth string.
Okay,
and then you get the C way back. You lean back and get the G.
Got it.
The C. Right, with practice, it'll be there. Try the tip. Maybe your finger's long enough or not too long, so
you
can just try it. Yeah, you'll find a spot. You know what it is? Almost aim for this fret. Shoot so far back in there that you're almost on B.
Overcompensate.
That's right. Now you're So that, yeah, so you want to do your raise nine, raise fives, and when you do that, you'll run into some situations like that. Whenever that interval's a problem in any chord, just reverse your outer flourishes.
Right, right, okay.
Really, I should put it a different way. Just reverse the two notes that make up the interval. But in this size of chords, it'll always appear in the outer voices. Have you explored the nine sharp five chord a little bit?
Okay. What does that mean? The regular nine or the sharp five whole tone scale type chord?
Yeah, this whole tone scale.
No, I haven't researched that.
There's another scale that goes with the two that's a more traditional scale. A scale that goes...
scale of flat six?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. That's like one of those, I saw that one of your books back there, it's for Middle East stuff.
One thing about the nine sharp five on the five is it's highly related to four dominant. I want you to play, if you would, G13 down here. I'm playing the A9 sharp 5 in this register.
So you get the sharp 11 sound, sort of?
It sounds like you're close to that Stockel guitar sharp 11 sound. See, I'm playing A7, A9, raising the 5. And so just by coincidence, it's G7 with the sharp 11.
So it is a version of the sharp 11.
Yeah, just by synonym time. So you get two forms that repeat each other every six frets, just two fingerings on any
which
seventh string.
Oh, so the first fingering is the...
Yeah, when you do this thing down here, it'll yield the nine.
And the nine.
You raise the five. Now you raise the five.
Oh.
So you don't want to add anything, we just raise or lower things for these.
The five? Oh, okay, I'm so
sorry. Because otherwise you end up with five notes.
A.
This one, of course, you'd want to probably hold it with the third finger on top,
ultimately. Okay.
And then this one, however you like to hold that one.
Let me just get this. Yeah. B, C sharp. Yeah. Okay, and this one is... And then it repeats itself.
Yeah, those
this
two forms
one, this one is repeats one, two, over here?
Yes, right in that vicinity.
I forgot how to play it.
You'll have the third on top.
The other shape.
So when we hear it as a four, if you let your ear hear it as a four dominant, then try resolving to three minor as a sub for one.
Okay, so four dominant is G for G, you mean?
Right, and then F sharp minor instead of D. And that way you get the logical root progression. So
I'm gonna go from.
So instead of doing 2-5-1, a fundamental standard progression.
Minor seventh, A7.
Sometimes I'll go more. I'm hearing like, you know, just different root line that way. It just sets up different motions. You still get back to the two anyway. A lot of these chords love to have, these shapes love to have different bass notes in them. And you're able to get those with your thumb and whatnot. What I'm going to do is give you some worksheets to take home, like the other one, where you can fill out some things and hopefully learn just a few more things about progressions and whatnot.
I don't suppose you did anything on those Beethoven type things.
I'm getting there, slowly but surely. I used to write out a lot of stuff on Bach harmony. I've got a ton of that. Beethoven I did for my own personal...
Well, let me just the stuff you did on tape. But on tape, we called it out, so I should be able to just...
Yeah, you'll be able to get with that stuff.
Yeah, I'll get with that. That'll be good.
This one's already filled in, but maybe you'll like some of the moves. It's page 3. You're asked to fill in parts on page 1, just like the other one. Some of them are already filled in, and some of them are left open, and... The idea is there's a certain motif given, and it keeps repeating.
Oh, that's the melody.
Chromatic, yeah, these are chromatic and semi-chromatic harmonizations.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. Yeah.
The second page here is more of the same, but it's already filled in for you, but maybe you'll get some new friends out of that. What's the little fingering markings underneath if they're there? They're just there to help you. Sustained marks, you know, like lines coming off one, just hold the notes. Just like old stuff. These are pretty standard kind of, I don't think there's anything radical here. What do we have here? Yeah, those were the themes, so again.
Now, is there a logical reason why each one is harmonized so?
That's what I want you to think about.
Figure out
how
to
if you can't find it, I want you to come in and
that's
with questions, you know.
That's the idea.
Oh, yeah.
See if there's anything that we need.
Sounds like the beginning of that song.
What song?
There'll Never Be Another You. All of a sudden, I don't know if I heard it.
There Will Never Be Another You. I'm not hearing it. Sorry.
It's not in there, is it?
No. I won't worry about it. You've been through a lot of harmony at Dix and everything.
Well, it's good. I mean, that's the point, is that if I get the questions, if I don't know what's going on, I do the work, and I go, well, what the hell is he doing here?
That's right.
Or, why is this?
Yeah, I love the questions. It'll be great.
Because,
should we see each other in December sometime, Mark?
Yes,
should definitely. We wait till the new year?
Oh, no, I don't want to wait till the new year. I don't know how much time I'm going to have, you know, after the new year, so. Well, so I will have a little time.
I could see you in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You tell me what you'd like.
Okay, let's.